The president's daughter and the son of the late dictator confirmed their tandem for the 2022 polls. Philippines begins administering COVID-19 booster shots to health workers. And the World Health Organization warns nations against mandating coronavirus jabs. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with this story. The Marcos-Sara Duterte-Carpio tandem for 2022, now official. The late dictator's son and presidential daughter confirmed they will team up for the upcoming national elections. Duterte-Carpio also revealed she asked for support from PDP Laban, but the ruling party rejected her.
Ang aking partido ay nakipag-alyansa at humingi ng suporta para kay Bongbong Marcos at para sa akin, matapos kong tanggapin ang inyong hamon at panawagan. Tinanggihan ito ng PDP at naiintindihan natin ito. Pero gusto ko lamang nalinawin, walang pangalan na sinisira o dinudungisan. Walang sinasagasaan, walang inaagrabyado, inaaway, pinapaiyak o inaapi. Sa muli, nananawagan ako ng pagkakaisa. Ang layunin natin ay hindi lamang ituloy ang mga magagandang na simula ni Pangulong Duterte, kundi ang mas pagbutihin at mas palawigin pa ang mga ito.
The Marcos camp expects the tandem to bring in more supporters from the regions.
Aking bagay yun, sapagkat even other political analysts are one in saying na maidudugtong talaga yung Mindanao votes at makakadagdag talaga sa Visayas votes. So matibay yung tambalang Marcos-Sara kung sakasakaling ito ay matuloy na.
PDP Laban says it respects the decision of Duterte-Carpio, but the ruling party says it has to respect its alliances with other groups. PDP Laban also reiterated its support for its presidential bet, Senator Bongo, and senatorial candidate, President Duterte. The confirmation of the Marcos-Duterte-Carpio tandem doesn't come as much of a surprise to many Filipinos anymore, but political analysts believe voters should still be wary of how the new pairing further bastardizes the electoral system.
This emerging dynasty cartel between the Marcoses, the Dutertes, and possibly the Romualdeses and the Arroyos is really a new development, because we're used to have dynasties competing with one another and not really promiscuously sharing power. But if this alliance becomes ironclad, then we could be talking of beyond 2022, beyond 2028, beyond 2034. That's how cartels work. They limit competition. They make sure that the winners of future electoral contests will be among them.
The only reason why a formal announcement was needed was precisely because, the candidates are running on, with different political party, which is, of course, the weirdest situation we have in this coming election. No? Individual candidates literally running as individual candidates, no? And up to the senators. You have to choose who among them will be more convincing. But the irony is that it's difficult to choose among them, because I'm not really sure whether any would be able to offer anything different.
Meanwhile, another analyst sees the administration's decision to field its own presidential candidate, Senator Bongo, as a bad move. Opposition member and senatorial aspirant Antonio Trillanes IV shares the same view.
It really defies political logic for me, because I would think, being the administration, quote-unquote, party, the objective would have been to consolidate the administration force, right? Not to break it up. they would have wanted to maintain the supermajority coalition they enjoyed.
Being the administration candidate, the local candidates would now gravitate towards Mr. Bongo because they expect that the money would be coming from there. Hmm. And therefore, those movements would take away votes again from Mr. Marcos.
An official of one of the factions of the ruling party, PDP-Laban, questions the motive behind President Duterte's Senate bid. PDP-Laban Vice President Lutgardo Barbo suspects Duterte only wants to protect himself from the International Criminal Court's probe into his bloody war on drugs.
I have always believed is to have some kind of bargaining aids for purposes of wriggling away from the clutches of the long arm of the law, as will be implemented by the International Criminal Court. I cannot think of any plausible reason why he is running for the Senate except to stay in power. And I think he is drunk with power.
Malacanang denies that allegation.
Ang pagtakbo po ni Pangulong Duterte as senator ay dahil gusto po niyang magpatuloy ng kanyang serbisyo sa taong bayan.
At least one political party is open to adopting Duterte as a senatorial bet. That's Lakas CMD, the same party that adopted his daughter as its vice presidential bet. Apart from President Duterte's supposedly questionable motive in gunning for a Senate seat, some of his opponents in next year's elections also doubt he will even make a good senator.
First and foremost, he would have to attend sessions. And that's going to be a big ask for Mr. Duterte to do, because right now, even as president, he's practically dragging himself out of bed just to appear in his weekly talk show.
Before a bill becomes a law, talagang hinahasa yun. Kailangan merong mga debate. There's a period of amendment, there's a committee amendment, there's what you call individual amendment, and you will have to defend your stand. He cannot say, eh, gusto ko ito. Just like hindi ko sana babanggitin yun, Senator Bongbong saying, do not ask me questions because I am not your student.
President and Senator Bongo met with congressmen in Malacanang. The event raised eyebrows since it occurred a few days after the two formalized their bids for the Senate and the presidency, respectively. Our correspondent RG Cruz now joins us with details. Very interesting development right there. RG, tell us more about it.
Yes, sir. According to one of the lawmakers that we spoke to who was present in the dinner, President Duterte appealed to congressmen who dined in Malacañang to support his candidacy for the Senate and as well as the candidacies of Senator Bongo for president and Mayor Sara Duterte for vice president. Viva Partidos Representative Michael Aglipay said about 95 congressmen were present from the PDP-Laban, National Unity Party, Nacionalista Party, Partidos Coalition, Nationalist People's Coalition, and the Visayan Bloc were present. Lakas CMD, led by Majority Leader Martin Romualdez, was excluded from the dinner meeting. Aglipay said it was for obvious reasons because the main opponent of a possible Go-Sara tandem 2022 is Romualdez. Romualdez is, of course, the first cousin of Partido Federal ng Pilipinas presidential candidate Ferdinand Marcos Jr. On Tuesday night, Mayor Sara confirmed she is running with Marcos Jr. and that his party and her party, the Lakas CMD, will be in an alliance. Mayor Duterte also revealed that the PDP-Laban rejected this alliance when it was proposed to them. Aglipay recalled that the chief executive told them to have full support for Go and Sara, even as he denied that the national budget was discussed in the meeting. Aglipay also said there was no plan to unseat Romualdez from the majority leadership at this time. In a copy of the speech of Speaker Velasco at the meeting, we saw that he also rallied support for the three, Senator Bongo, Mayor Sara Duterte, and President Duterte. Of course, we know that lawmakers met up with the President and Senator Go for dinner on Tuesday night, 5 days after the latter filed his candidacy for President of the Philippines in the 2022 national elections. Carmina?
Yes, Archie, can we call that dinner a loyalty check?
Well, nobody's calling that now. And until we have someone on the record saying that, we'll just have to leave it at that.
Did the lawmaker that you spoke with felt that it was sort of that and not just the president asking for support?
There was nothing of that sort in our conversation. And he gave me no impression. Actually, the source that I was talking to went on the record. It's Congressman Aglipay. Congressman Aglipay said nothing of that sort.
And did he also say anything about the reference of all those that attended that dinner? By attending, did that mean that they were really going to support the president, or that even still is still up in the air?
Well, you know, the conversation that I had with Congressman Aglipay is rather preliminary. We're still getting more details about that dinner, and we will be sitting down with him for a Zoom meeting with the rest of the House in about 45 minutes.
Okay, tell us more about it then after that Zoom meeting. Thanks a lot. Our correspondent, RG Cruz, there joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it, RG. Thanks. Take care. Received 3.5 million more Sinovac doses, which the government procured from China. The latest shipment arrived this morning at the Ninoy Aquino International Airport. The country has so far immunized over 31.8 million individuals. That's more than 40% of government's 77 million target this year. The Philippines logged 849 new COVID infections on Tuesday, the lowest since December last year. But the health department clarifies the relatively low number of reported cases is due to a dip in the laboratory output. The total number of COVID-19 cases in the country is now at 2,819,000. Only 25,000 are active cases. The use of face shields in public transport no longer mandatory in areas under alert level 1 to 3. These include jeepneys, buses, taxis, airplanes, trains, and even ships. But the transport department says other protocols, including the mandatory wearing of face masks and physical distancing, should still be observed.
Para sa ating mga enforcers, sinabihan na rin po natin sila na hindi na nga po mandatory ngayon yung paggamit ng face shield dito sa NCR. Kaya po wag na nila pong huhulihin yung mga tao na walang suot na face shield sa loob ng public transport.
The new rule follows government's decision to lift the face shield mandate in areas under alert level 3 and below. Face shields will only be required in areas under alert level 5 and those under granular lockdown. Well, we're going to take a break now. Up ahead, the World Health Organization warns of possible human rights issues over mandatory vaccination policies. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Back, you're still with Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The president's daughter and the son of the late dictator confirm their tandem for the 2022 polls. The Philippines begins administering COVID-19 booster shots to health workers. And the World Health Organization warns nations against mandating coronavirus jabs. We have this just in. The Philippines adds another COVID-19 vaccine to its arsenal in the battle against this pandemic. The Food and Drug Administration has approved the emergency use of the COVAX vaccine from the Serum Institute of India. Earlier this year, the Philippine government announced it had signed a deal to procure 30 million doses of the COVAX jab. Pfizer seeks U.S. authorization for its experimental COVID-19 pill, which can cut the chance of hospitalization or even death from the virus significantly. Let's get the details in this report.
Pfizer announced on Tuesday that it has completed submission for emergency use authorization of its experimental antiviral COVID-19 pill with the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. In a clinical trial, Pfizer's drug Paxlovid cut the chance of hospitalization or death for adults at risk of severe disease by 89%. The pill could be a promising new weapon in the fight against the pandemic, as it can be taken as an early at-home treatment in a five-day regimen to help prevent COVID-19 hospitalizations and deaths. It could also become an important tool in countries and areas with limited access to vaccines or low vaccination rates. A panel of outside advisors to the FDA will meet at the end of the month to consider a competing antiviral pill from Merck and Ridgeback Biotherapeutics, who have already applied for emergency use authorization. Pfizer said it has begun the process of seeking authorization in several countries, including the United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, and South Korea, and plans further international submissions. Meanwhile, the Washington Post reported Tuesday that U.S. President Joe Biden's administration is expected to announce this week the purchase of 10 million courses of Pfizer's pill. It is not immediately clear when U.S. regulators will rule on Pfizer's application.
Police in Vienna have begun implementing the so-called lockdown for the unvaccinated. Authorities carried out spot checks on the vaccination status of shoppers as part of pandemic measures introduced Monday. Austria has imposed a lockdown on the unvaccinated as winter approaches and as infections rise across Europe. About 2 million people who refuse to get a COVID shot are now only allowed to leave their homes for work or to shop for essentials. The Philippines begins administering booster shots for health workers. ABS-CBN's Vivian Gulia now joins us for an update. Vivian, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. More than 100 healthcare workers here at the National Kidney and Transplant Institute received their much-awaited COVID booster shot this morning, and so far none of them experienced adverse event following immunization. That's as the country begins its rollout of COVID booster shots, and for now only health workers or members of the A1 priority group are eligible to receive this. Health Secretary Francisco Duque III and Vaccine Czar Secretary Carlito Galvez Jr. led the ceremonial booster vaccination here this morning. Duque says the additional COVID vaccine dose aims to help increase the antibody levels that protect an individual from COVID, as some studies showed that antibodies from the primary vaccine series may wane after several months. NKTI Executive Director Rosemarie Liquete says a recent test showed that majority of the 60 workers tested now have low antibody levels and are in need of booster shots. That's as several workers have been fully vaccinated more than 6 months ago. NKTI targets to administer booster doses today on 250 to 300 of their over 2,000 health workers. So far, only Pfizer's COVID jab is available here for booster. But based on the guidelines issued by the National Vaccination Operations Center, health workers are eligible to receive one booster dose at least 6 months after they were fully vaccinated with Pfizer, Moderna, Sinovac, Sputnik V, or AstraZeneca's COVID jab. But if they initially received the single-dose Janssen vaccine, they may receive booster at least 3 months later. Health workers may choose their booster brand from those with emergency use authorization, whether homologous or the same brand, or heterologous or different brand from the primary vaccine series they received. Guidelines also state that those fully vaccinated with Sinovac, Pfizer, Moderna, or AstraZeneca may receive the same brand as booster, while Pfizer, Moderna, or AstraZeneca may be used as booster for those inoculated with other vaccine brands. Health workers need to bring their original vaccination card as proof of their full vaccination and valid ID. The process for administering booster is almost similar to that of the primary series. There is an orientation on the benefits and risks of getting booster. Vaccine recipients will have to sign an informed consent undergo health screening and shall be given another vaccination card where information on their booster shot will be reflected. Duque says they will have to monitor and study whether a COVID booster shot will be required every 6 months. Galvez, meanwhile, expects to begin rollout of booster shots to senior citizens and immunocompromised individuals before November ends. Carmina, back to you.
Thanks a lot, Vivian. Take care and you keep safe. Appreciate your report. Now, as we reported earlier, President Rodrigo Duterte and Senator Bongo met with congressmen in Malacañang last night. Let's get more details from one of the attendees. Deputy Speaker Mike Romero now joins us here on the program. Congressman, good afternoon to you, and thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Carmina. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to all your televiewers. Good afternoon.
So how would you describe that meeting that happened last night? Was it a loyalty check?
No, it was just a very casual. In fact, the president, during the dinner, he told us specifically that this is a non-political dinner. No, he hasn't met Congress or members of Congress of that magnitude since March of 2020. So now that the pandemic is down, I think he took the opportunity also to give thanks to many of the leaders of the House of Representatives. Nagpasalamat siya. In fact, he joked that sabi niya, he hasn't seen many of us. So sabi niya, pasensya na with the food that they served. They served only one soup, one ulam, and one rice. So it was a very casual, no? But at the end of the event, each one of us had the chance to have a photo op with him. So it was a casual, no loyalty checks, and no endorsements.
Mm. But then at one point during the dinner, he did ask for your support for him and Senator Bongo. Is that correct?
No, he said very, very, he said it's a non-political issue. So he did not say any endorsements. He did not endorse Senator Bongo, but Senator Bongo or even Mayor Sara, but si Senator Bongo also was given a chance to also talk to us. And as House leaders, we were also given a chance to thank the President for the various projects and programs that he has coursed through the various congressmen. It's almost a non-event for all of us, but a casual, very casual dinner.
Yeah, but you're one of the attendees. You're not only deputy speaker. You're not only representative of One PAC Man. You're also president of the party list organization there at the House of Representatives. So tell us, whose candidacies are you going to support, Congressman Romero?
As the party list, no, we as a party list coalition, we're the biggest, we're the second biggest bloc. We have 54 congressmen and congresswomen also. So I think for the 2022 presidential election, we're in plurality. There's a lot of presidential aspirants. No, we will kanya-kanya muna lahat kami. So we will not vote as a bloc at this time.
But what about your party list, One PAC Man?
For One PAC Man, I think my second nominee, Congressman Eric Pineda, is very much affiliated already with Manny Pacquiao. Ako naman, give me a chance also to think about it with my family.
Yeah, because you're in a very, I would say, very interesting position, right? Because of the declaration of Senator Bongo, the declaration of Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio, and of course, we put in the mix the influence of former President Gloria Macapagal Arroyo. Where does your relationship with all these three personalities now stand, given their role in the declarations that happened in the past, 48 hours?
Yeah, it's like a reality show. No? Talagang each day it progresses to something eventful. But I was also elected last week as the Deputy Speaker for Political Affairs. So I'm in charge of all the political parties of the House. So I have to be very quiet muna on this. Sorry, Garvina. Yeah.
Oh, pero mahirap ba? Because even without your new position, you were in a very interesting position already. Mas pinahirap pa nga. Pa kaya ka linagay dyan?
Well, I sort of referee all the political parties within the House. No? And yung role ko ngayon. That's why medyo very precarious situation. So I'd rather leave it that way for the moment.
Yeah, but what do you weigh? I'm not going to push you at all. I respect that if you want to keep mum about it. But as you decide whom to support, what are you weighing here?
First of all, we have to still push the legislative agenda of the president. No? In doing so, I have to push the various whips. We have still 6 months to work as a Congress. So I'm the one pushing, as one of the whips, I have to push for the passage of several other laws. So that's my role at this stage in time.
But has any of the candidates, excuse me, let's talk about Lakas CMD, for example, even PDP Laban, even this PDDS, have they approached you?
They're all my friends. No? I'm a friend, exactly. Very good friend of Manny Pacquiao. I'm a very good friend of Senator Bongo. And I'm a very good friend of Bongbong Marcos. No? So, but again, my role at this stage is DS for Political Affairs. Sorry about that.
All right. So is it even a possibility that you won't endorse any presidential candidate?
Well, I can be very independent, though. That's a possibility.
Parang ipit na ipit kayo, Congressman.
Yeah, medyo my role kasi is very technical in the House, eh. So I have to fit to that role at this stage, no? And
yeah,
help the Speaker Lord Alan Velasco on this.
But we know that there are also a lot of things happening outside the House of Representatives.
Yes, I just play it day to day. Maraming developments on each day. No, we'll never know who will, at the end of the day, who will be standing and who will slide down to anything, di ba?
You said a while ago that your primary role right now, and that's when where you're going to concentrate on, is to make sure that, you know, the legislative agenda is followed, because as you correctly pointed out, you have 6 more months, and that's a lot of time, right, to get things done. But in terms of leadership, we do know that the president is going to gun for a Senate seat. How might that affect the legislative agenda that you will make sure that that's going to happen with the president's focus divided? Is he running the country, or is he going to campaign for that Senate seat? Did he even talk to you about that last night?
No, he did not. But he thanked us for all the... he thanked us for the Bayanihan 1 and 2, for his build program, for his tax reformation program. So I think that will continue. There are two agendas that the House is concentrating. The first one being is to pass on time the 2022 budget. No? It's a 4.6 trillion, and we have to pass it on time, meaning by December. The second one being is if we can pass the Bayanihan 3. No, yung mga ayudas is still needed by 10 million Filipinos. So that's one of our priorities pa rin. How to give the Filipinos the ayudas.
So for you,
10 million Filipinos.
For you, the directive of the president is clear. You won't look to him for any leadership anymore, because the marching orders are very clear there at the House of Representatives. But what do you say to those who are saying, Congressman Romero, that the president is only gunning for a Senate seat only to protect himself? What are your thoughts regarding that?
I don't know the thoughts of the president with regards to this, because he did not disclose that yesterday. No, but I guess ang tingin ko, it's because of the various Well, from my point of view, no, the various investigations being done against him, one of them, Blue Ribbon, yung mga family. So I think to post, no, ang posturing nga, okay, gusto niyong, ano, de, sasali na lang ako sa fray dyan and debate directly with you if he becomes the he becomes a senator. No, that's parang for my side, yan ang intindi ko.
Mm. All right. Now, and what about one of your friends, Senator Bongo? What makes you think that he can become a good leader of this country? What has he done that makes you think that?
I think the malasakit sentence of Senator Bongo makes him a formidable. Actually, all of them are formidable because you only need 30-40%, maybe maximum 40% to win this election. No? So it's a plurality game, not a majority game. So each of the candidates at this stage has an equal chance. No? For Senator Bongo, I think ang pinakamagandang nagagawa na are the malasakit centers and the various centers that he wants to put up all over the Philippines. No?
Pero Congressman, di ba pera ho yun ng taong bayan?
Yes, but these are programs. Eh. Kailangan you gear... Siyempre, ang budgeting is to gear towards the programs and projects of the government.
Hmm. But so, that's not entirely his own. I mean, that's not his.
Yes, I agree. That is just one of the programs of the government, coursed through his directives.
And what about the Marcos Duterte Carpio tandem? What would make you support them?
As of now, I think it's a very strong tandem, the BBM. I'm saying all this objectively,
Political.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh, nothing on my with regards to my own personality. I think it's the strongest. No, joining BBM and Sara is the team to beat at this stage. No? Everyone has a. Uphill battle to, especially Sara has been Mayor Sara has been number one for the last several surveys, and now it's Bongbong, and now they're together. So you cannot discount those two factors together.
Baka makarinig kayo kay Senator Pacquiao cha kay Senator Bongo after what you just said, Congressman.
No, naman, it's not an endorsement, but I'm just saying it objectively. No, but the election is still May. May 9, so it's 5 months to go. And as I said, each one, even Senator Bongo and Senator Pacquiao, has an equal chance to win this. No, if you see the previous elections, number one at the time was another aspirant, and I think President Duterte was just 4% at this stage, November. He did not even declare until December. And yet he won the election. And si Pinoy is also the same. At that time, was si Vice President Binay was ahead, and Pinoy came from. So it's still a free for all at this stage, free for all presidential election.
All right, we're going to have to
and
leave it.
And of course, sorry, andyan din si Ma'am Leni, no? So it's also, she's still a formidable aspirant to the presidential election. So.
Madami. All right. Kaya nga parang mag-ipon ho kayo ng lakas kasi mukhang ngayon pa lang pagod na kayo. Marami pang pwedeng mangyari.
Yes, abangan ang susunod na kabanata.
Congressman Mikey Romero there, House Deputy Speaker and also Party List Representative of One PAC Man. We appreciate you taking our Zoom call. Thanks again. Take care and you keep safe.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right, back to more news. Parañaque City finalizing an executive order banning minors 12 years old and below inside malls. And that's according to Interior Undersecretary Jonathan Malaya. It was President Duterte who asked local government units to come out with such a directive after a two-year-old positive for COVID-19 after going to a mall.
Ito pong Parañaque ay meron ng EO. Pending approval ng kanilang ordinansa, ang sabi po sa akin ay bukas daw ay pag-uusapan na sa kanilang konseho kung ito na yung magiging pinal nilang pulisiya, which is pag below 12, not allowed to go to the mall or shopping center except in alfresco areas.
Metro Manila mayors are set to meet today to discuss if this directive will be implemented in other cities. Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration says Pfizer may apply for an emergency use authorization for COVID-19 vaccination for that age group this month.
Ang 5 to 11-year-olds sa ngayon po ang meron pa lamang niyan na emergency use authorization sa US FDA ay yung Pfizer. At kakaumpisa pa lamang nila no, ng pag-roll out. So we are eagerly awaiting data tsaka information para makita natin yung magiging effect niya. Pero yun pong kanyang application dito wala pa po. In-expect natin within this month siguro ay mag-a-apply na rin po sila ng EUA amendment to include 5 to 11-year-olds.
The World Health Organization warns of possible human rights issues in mandatory vaccination policies of governments around the world. The head of the WHO's emergencies program said governments should implement these measures only as a last resort and for the shortest possible period of time.
Some governments feel that having attempted that and having tried, at least in their minds, their best to be able to address that, looking to using mandatory vaccination, either mandatory vaccination for work or mandatory vaccination or proof of previous infection to access hotels, restaurants, and even to the extreme of asking people who are unvaccinated to stay home as opposed to vaccinated people being out. And this raises real issues around civil liberties. This raises real issues around human rights. And it's something that governments should consider extremely carefully.
But the WHO reiterates vaccination is effective in curbing severe cases and deaths due to COVID-19.
That have high vaccination coverage and are seeing a significant decline in deaths. We do see other countries that high vaccines, high access to vaccines, but low vaccination coverage. And those countries are, again, seeing a lot of transmission that is happening, surges in transmission, as well as increases in deaths. And we're getting reports in many countries, far too many countries right now, that health systems are overburdened, that health workers are overburdened, that hospital beds are filling up, that ICU is filling up. So, you know, you ask where we're going with this pandemic. The pandemic is far from over.
New Zealand's largest city, Auckland, is set to reopen its borders to the rest of the country. Starting December 15, fully vaccinated individuals and those with negative COVID-19 tests can travel in and out of the city. The city was on lockdown for 3 months after being the epicenter of New Zealand's Delta variant outbreak. But the government was able to reopen the city thanks to a high vaccination rate, which is currently at 80%. U.S. President Joe Biden and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping agree to set up talks on arms control. The two leaders met in a virtual summit in a bid to ease tensions between the world's top two economies and major geopolitical rivals. A White House official says the need for discussions between nuclear-armed nations was also agreed upon during the more than three-hour meeting.
How our bilateral relationship evolves seems to me to will have a profound impact not only on our countries, but quite frankly, the rest of the world. We have a responsibility to the world as well as to our people. It's why we believe, and you and I have talked about this, all countries have to play by the same rules of the road, why the United States is always going to stand up for our interests and values and those of our allies and partners.
Yeah, this just in, a palace representative allegedly visited detained siblings Mohit and Twinkle Dargani, the formerly executives linked to government supposedly anomalous pandemic supply deals. The chairman of the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee, Senator Richard Gordon, now joins us for more on this. Senator, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Carmina. Short notice, but I'm here.
I know. We really appreciate you coming to the show because we learned of this. A lawyer affiliated with the palace visiting the Dargani siblings. Tell us more about what you know about this.
Yesterday, we got a letter, a request from the Darganis asking if their lawyer could visit him, visit them. And of course, we have to check who they are. And we found out that he was connected in Malacanang. And when we asked for confirmation, he denied it. No? He said, no, I'm the lawyer of the Darganis. And then when he got out, we asked him again. And finally, he admitted. I don't know why he was denying it. No? And when he got out, he finally said, yes, I was in with Malacanang. I was with the office of SAP, the Senate, the senior assistant to the president. And then I said, but I've resigned in February. I don't know if that's accurate. But we checked right away his LinkedIn. We checked away his Facebook. He was in Russian and stuff like that. And obviously, it asks a lot of questions when somebody comes in there and he denies it when asked point blank, were you with the office of the president or office of SAP, et cetera, et cetera? And he says, no. And then later on, when he confronted, finally, he says, yes. And the other guardians are welcome to get any lawyer that they want, their money can buy. But I don't see any reason why this guy should even deny that he was with the office of the president.
May we have his name, Senator?
Yes, his name is Valies. He's a director for, and he introduced himself as Daryl Richie Valies.
Daryl Richie Valies, and he said he had resigned from the office of the special assistant to the president just February this year.
Yeah, after the visit, when he came, Osaa asked him again, "Sir, are you the same person? Because we asked you earlier," and I said, "No, I've resigned. I work in Balacan. I don't know whether that's accurate. You know, once you lie, everything goes into question." Mm-hmm. And you know, very, very questionable the way he behaved. He comported himself, denying it. You know, he was allowed in. He didn't have to lie, but he did lie.
What does that tell you about the role of the palace in the whole controversy? I mean, you have already said this is a grand conspiracy that goes all the way up to Malacanang. And with this lawyer being present, visiting the Darganis, what does that tell you?
Well, you know, if you list down so many things, there, you know, these guys were appointed by the president. Dargani said that he worked with the he placed in his account that he worked with Michael Yang for the Office of Economic Advisor. And then later on, he said he just put it there. You know, just one frying pan to the other. And there's a string of lies. And what can I say? I mean, they were caught in Davao. Why Davao? And, you know, when he was asked in open hearing, questions, and when we told him that he would be placed under contempt, he vamoosed straight away. Umalis siya kagad. And we never saw him again. And we were following him. We were trying to get him. In fact, I sent pictures of his other houses to the Osaa. And they were going after him all over the place. And then finally, we got information from government and government employees. Galit na talaga mga tao eh. They will not stomach this. So they sent this message to our people. And quietly, we did not have any fanfare. We asked Osaa, and they went to Davao. I wasn't very optimistic that they were going to catch them, but voila, he was caught. And then when we caught them inside the plane already, on a chartered plane, like the Lamborghini, Learjet.
Do you have any more info on that chartered plane and the preparation that went into the attempt to flee?
It was chartered out of Seletar Airport. There is a company there. I forget the name right now. And Globan Aviation here handled the applications. Even before they left, we had their passports. We gotten all the documents already. So we knew what we were doing. And certainly, I have nothing but praises for the Osaa under General Rene, no? Samonte. And they did their job. You know what happened when they got them? The mother was with them. So the three of them were leaving. This is a very serious operation. Hiring a Learjet, they're all going. And remember, Dargani had two passports. He admitted this in open hearing.
Yeah.
I said, do you have two passports? And he said he had a passport with Spain. And so obviously it would be a simple matter plane chartered out of Singapore, go to KL, take another plane and go to Spain or go anywhere else. He could travel anywhere. We'd never see him.
Hmm. So how is this going to affect now? I know that you're going to resume your hearings in a matter of days, but, you know, are you going to devote some time into this during the hearings to sort of know more about this and get the circumstances surrounding their attempt to flee?
First of all, Karen, as you know, flight is a very, very strong sense, indication of guilt. That's a cardinal law in legal studies. No? When you flee, and here you are literally flying away. and he left the hearing, you know, without so much as in a Jew. He was hiding. And we were looking for them. And, you know, Twinkle Dargani has not shown up. And they've refused questions, to answer questions. And, yes, the hearing is far from over because we're now going into the money trail. When you have money to buy Lamborghinis and Porsches, and you have money to retain a Learjet or stuff like that, we have been asking them for the where they got the money. No answer. Then we look at their income taxes. No payment of taxes. I mean, they have not. You know, even Michael Young was seen not to have paid any taxes, and he had been here since 1999. And in 2008, that was the first time. And all of a sudden, he's filthy rich, literally.
By the way, Senator, have you had the chance to speak with the Darganis?
No, I don't make it a policy to go there. It's para namang nagpapa-gimmick ka doon, pupunta ka doon, papakuha ng litrato. I don't do that. I'm not in that game.
So but, makikita na lang kayo sa
I'm
video.
Very happy they're there. We had them checked up. I monitor it. And, you know, Twinkle kept crying and crying, and the doctor was saying, don't cry. She check up in lang naman kabe. Sabi ni Dargani, Mohit, hindi siya umiiyak dahil dyan. Umiiyak siya dahil nahuli kami dito. Nandito kami ngayon. Hindi siya umiiyak dahil sinay-check up niya siya. So obviously, alam nila. And really, all of them have the same modus operandi. You know, Farmali had a trail of corruption in Taiwan. The same people are involved. The head honcho is now in Singapore. And, you know, not far-fetched to see that the plane could have been paid out of Singapore by the president, who is also under investigation.
So paano po yon, Senator, upon the resumption of the hearing, are you going to ask them point blank about the circumstances surrounding their attempt to flee?
Definitely. I mean, you know, it's a very serious matter. And, you know, ito ang dapat hindi mawala sa tao. The Senate is a serious institution. It's a co-equal branch of government, along with Congress, of course. Eh, hindi dapat minamaliit na pwede mong takasan, you can leave. Akala nila, we have no long arm. And, you know, what I am so proud because yung iba tumatakas, ang daming tumatakas, hindi na nauhuli, di ba? Ito, ang office of the Senate was able to capture this guy in the lion's den, literally in Davao, which is, they probably figured because they identified with the president that we would not dare go there. And we did. And thanks to Senator Soto, who provided the place, sabi ko, sabi niya, nag-provide siya ng plane dahil baka mamaya agawin pa sa kanila yan pag sinakay sa commercial aircraft. Eh.
Yeah. Final two questions for you, Senator. The fact that, as you said, they were caught in Davao, a lawyer affiliated with Malacanang visited them, and all the other all the other facts that we know right now, do you think this really just goes beyond the realm of coincidences at this point?
No. This is deliberate. This is part of the conspiracy. Even the escape was planned. You know, you can get some. You can get the plane. That plane can land in a small runway. They could have landed. They taken off Palawan. They could have taken off General Santos, or they could have taken off from Clark. They decided to choose Davao. That speaks volumes. And the guy that denies that he's from Malacanang, when he's really in Malacanang, we have pictures of the guy in Russia with the state visit of the president. So how can they deny this? I mean, this is an open world nowadays.
And finally, Senator Gordon, how concerned are you that the relevance of this hearing is sort of dwindling as the days go by, as we see the vaccination rates go up and as the economy begins to reopen and improve?
Sir, you cannot erase the fact that so much money has been lost in the pandemic. So much momentum has been lost. Momentum has been lost
because of this brouhaha.
And therefore, dapat talaga imbestigayan yan. Hindi naman ako nag-iimbestiga para in either re-election. I've been there, done that. You know, I've been several elections. But this is so important. You know, all the investigations of the Senate has resulted in prosecutions. And if I may comment, Albayalde was taken off the hook. That was a howshow. If we talk to General Magalong, sabi niya nung pinay lang ng kasong yan, sinabi nila howshow talaga because hindi luto yung pinay na kaso because there were classmates yung nag-file. So, ganyan ang situation eh. This is a part of the modus operandi of this administration na talagang papalusutin nila yung mga tao nila. They will protect their people. They will not protect the people. And that's why this is so important. People have to be protected from rapaciousness, from these people who abuse their prerogatives, who use influence to make money out of the people. Who protects them?
Senator Richard Gordon there, Chairman of the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee. Nice to see you again, Senator. Continue to take
Thank
care.
Thank you, Karen. You. Look, very good. Nice chain, nice outfit. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right. We're going to move on with the rest of the news now. The Philippines is the largest business organization set to submit a wish list to President Duterte, which aims to fast-track the country's recovery from this pandemic. Our very own Warren de Guzman now joins us for that story. Warren, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. The Philippine Chamber of Commerce and Industry has released its latest wish list for government, which it hopes the Duterte administration will strive to push for the remainder of its term. I'll go through the list of the first, institutionalized innovation for economic development. Second, open the economy now and assist businesses to create new jobs. Third, fully implement ease of doing business. Fourth, fast-track internet connectivity at competitive rates. Fifth, modernize agriculture for food security. Sixth, innovate and digitize the education system. Seventh, balance industry growth and environmental protection. Eighth, assure adequate power supply at a competitive cost. Ninth, make infrastructure a cornerstone of economic development. And tenth, assure adequate power supply at competitive rates. So that appears to be a repeat of number eight. Now, this list was released at the PCCI as the PCCI holds its 47th Philippine Business Convention and Expo. And during a plenary with the Duterte Economic Managers, DICT Undersecretary and Officer in Charge Jose Arturo de Castro revealed they're finally ready to pilot test one technology being pushed by the PCCI and even the BSP for most of 2021, satellite. De Castro said, your DICT is ready to pilot test with you the proof of concept for satellite connectivity to be launched in 6 jointly selected areas in the country. Ideally, we should launch in areas that do not have access to internet services, so we can provide connectivity through international satellite services you have identified. Now, President Rodrigo Duterte signed Executive Order 127 in early March to liberalize access to satellite services. The PCCI has been pushing for a quicker implementation of the EO, saying it will greatly speed up improvements in connectivity in unserviced areas. And even the Philippine Central Bank has pushed for this as part of its own efforts to use fintech and the internet to create greater financial inclusion. So that should address the wish list item number four. Regarding the item number five, modernize agriculture for food security, Vice President Lenny Robredo, she delivered the keynote address at the opening of the expo, and she shared what she would do for in terms of agriculture. She said, we will strengthen agriculture. They will shift away from importation and prioritize strengthening local production. And despite lockdowns, despite production dipping across all sectors, agriculture actually grew last year. It has been resilient in the face of the pandemic. Imagine how much more it can grow if we give it enough funding, she said. But we do not have to just imagine. Under my administration, we will see to it for ourselves. We will increase or double funding for agriculture from 1.7% of the national budget to 3.4% by 2028. So that was a bit of commentary from Robredo regarding the state of agriculture, again, which is part of the wish list of the PCCI. Robredo will join the other candidates for president in the 2022 elections in a forum tomorrow to be hosted by the PCCI, as well as the business sector looks to hear more about the platforms and plans and goals of the candidates for if they are elected next year. Carmina, back to you.
Thanks a lot. Warren De Guzman there joining us on the line. Take care, Warren. Keep safe. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Playback is newscast 2 on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.